How many were here 2 weeks ago when I spoke on dreams? All right. How many were not here? All right. That's a good number of you. Okay. You know, the cool thing about the day that we live in, we have technology where you can go back and listen to it. You can get it on Rumble. You can get it on YouTube. And we also had a podcast at our website that you can get all our messages. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it because it wasn't just about dreams, though it was. It was about the way God interacts with us. And I think I'm going to continue on that a little bit. Give me one second. Everybody okay? Is it bad when you can't find the book you're looking for? Actually, there it was. I forgot which book I was looking for. I was looking for the wrong book. If you ain't been awkward in a church before, welcome to Morningstar. Get comfortable. Because honestly, sometimes when you're willing to get you to not be so rigid and tight on the way things go, sometimes you make room for God and God shows up and does things that he wouldn't normally do because he hadn't had any room to do it anywhere else. Because we had our schedule that we had to keep, you know what I mean? You got to do our worship, got to get your teaching, got to get you out the door for lunch before they get here. We don't operate like that. We don't, you know, this church isn't for everybody. I get it. We are trying to go after God. We're trying to be led by the Lord. We're trying to connect with the Lord in a way that his desire is met in every service. We fail sometimes, but we fall forward, you know, and we get up. And so sometimes, I know with me, I never ever like to share a message that I don't feel like the Lord's leaning on or breathing on. I don't preach just a good message. I will never ever show up at a church and think, man, that was a good message the Lord gave me one time. I'm going to share that again. I'm not interested. I want to know what the Lord is saying for the people that I'm with right at that moment in that morning so that what's coming is nice, fresh, baked bread, hopefully, from the Lord, or at least that's the goal. And not something that's left over. You know what I mean? But one of the things that I was kind of debating this morning is I want us to understand the importance of our ability to connect with the Lord and what he's saying to us as an individual. Okay? It is imperative that every single one of us is able to connect with what the Lord is saying to you. And if you don't know what the Lord is saying to you, that's what we want to help you with, because God wants to speak to you. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on dreams and how I started having dreams in 19... Well, I've been having dreams my whole life. I started realizing in 1995 that God speaks through dreams. And once I began to realize that, I started having amazing dreams. And I probably was having them the whole time, but I wasn't able to connect with them because I didn't know. I threw them aside. But every major move in my life, and I'm not talking about just physical moves, but every major direction in my life, directional shift, changes in my life, I would dream about it often years before it happened. And they would escalate typically as I approach the shift in my life. Does that make sense? I remember when I started going to Morningstar back in 1995, I started realizing God's speaking. I started having these things happen where I had people come up to me and say, you're called to be a youth pastor. I had zero desire to be a youth pastor, like zero. But what was so weird was I was dreaming about leading youth in my dreams. I kept dreaming it. I'm like, why am I dreaming this? And then people would come up to me and they say, the Lord showed me you're called to be a youth pastor. And I'm wrestling with this thing because I don't want to do that. And I decided, you know what? If God's saying this, let's at least kind of put my toe in the water and see how it feels. And I went to a youth meeting. And all of a sudden, it took off. Like, I mean, I just, the fire, just my whole desires and everything shifted. And the next thing you know, I started Morningstar's first youth ministry the church in Charlotte at the time. And so I was Morningstar's first youth pastor. Poor or Morningstar. Well, how many know that God will usually is usually on the job training type thing? That's usually the way God does things. He usually doesn't release you into something you're good at. He calls you, throws you into it, and then teaches you how to do it. Then shortly later on, I started having dreams that I was doing evangelism on the streets. And I started having God speak to me, literally, about evangelism on the streets. I remember one dream, many of you might know this guy, many of you don't. There was a minister named Bob Weiner, okay? If you know Bob Weiner, you're smiling right now. If you don't, that's okay. But he was an evangelist to the core. He lived, ate, breathed, slept evangelism. And in this dream, he was on the side of the road trying to ride a motorcycle that he couldn't figure out how to ride. And he asked me to show him how to ride this bike, or really what he was asking me to carry him to Morningstar, because he was supposed to be at Morningstar, but he didn't know how to take this bike there. And so in the dream, I didn't know how to ride a motorcycle. And so I'm like, okay. And I jumped on the motorcycle to figure out how to ride it as I'm going. He gets on the bike with me, on the back of the bike, and I drive him as I'm figuring out how to do it. We ride, and I carry him to Morningstar. Okay. Well, that's just a dream about a motorcycle, right? No, it is not. Motorcycles often speak of prophetic ministries. And so the Lord was saying that he was wanting to take evangelism on the vehicle. He was wanting to use the vehicle of the prophetic to carry evangelism into Morningstar. Okay? I did not know how to do that at all in the natural. I was not a prophetic evangelist at the time. But in the dream, I had to get on the bike, learn how to do it, and then drive him there. And that is exactly what the Lord started asking me to do. He wanted me to start taking teams out to do evangelism on the streets, and especially using the prophetic as we're ministering. And so one time I came home during this period of time, and this was back in the day when you had answering machines. You know, you didn't have... I mean, many of you kids, younger people, you're like, what is that? We had these little boxes that were hooked to the telephone lines, and they had voice recordings where we would say, hey, this is the Newtons, leave your number and your name, and we'll give you a call back. And you come in, you hit a button, and it plays all your messages. Well, I come home from church one day, and somebody during this same period of time had put a message on my machine about a dream they had where I was doing prophetic evangelism. I mean, I was getting this left and right. This helped me to overcome my fear and to start going out into the streets and just start ministering to strangers, which I was terrified to do. But I had had so much revelation from the Lord about it that if I didn't do it, I was in pure disobedience. And so it got to the point it was either obey God or disobey God, but what God's saying is clear. Do you follow me? God was speaking, and it helped direct my path, and I spent the next 12 to 15 years doing street evangelism. And I can tell you, just as a side note, kind of a squirrel, but it's an important one, you will never, ever, ever outgive God. Okay, when God calls you to do something, you don't have to be, like, when I was called, I didn't want to do this. I did not, I mean, I was fine once I got out there and I started doing it, but every week I had tormenting fear that would hit me, and it would come with a side of laziness. It's Saturday and I don't want to go. I got other things I could be doing, but I would go because the Lord kept encouraging me to go. But what happened was that time period of me giving myself to something I didn't want to do, it forged the person that I was called to be. And if I would not have given myself to the purpose of God during that season, even though I didn't want it, I would have never become the person that I was called to be. You can't outgive God. But when we engage in our purpose, the Lord is forming us into whom we're supposed to be. And when we reject the purposes of God for our life, for whatever the reason, fear, insecurity, laziness, desire for other things, you're missing out on the person that God had created you to be. I got so much from that season that built Christ in me that I'm so thankful for all the difficulties I went through doing that ministry. Does that make sense? Total side note. Anyway, my point is that God begins to speak, and I begin to get vision for what the Lord wants to do in my life. And, you know, when God called Abraham, y'all know the story of Abraham, right? Abraham, Father Abraham, right? When he called him outside. He said, I want you to look to the north, south, east, and the west, and as far as your eyes can see, I will give you the land. Now, I've shared this many times here, but God brought Abraham out, and he told him to look. He had to be able to see. He said, I will give you the land that you can see. Okay? Far as your eye can see, I will give you the land. And that's a principle for us as believers. God will always give you land that you have vision for. But the scripture says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. There's another verse that says, where there is no vision, the people throw off restraints. In other words, when we don't have vision for something, we're not engaged in purpose, and we go off on other things that are lifeless, powerless, leads to death. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of which is death. The quickest way to get off course and to end up in a place that is not good, that's not producing life in you and in your family and around your surroundings, is to disengage from the purpose that God's called you to. Does that make sense? God made Adam and Eve. When he made them, he gave them a purpose. It wasn't just to be with him, though that was the greatest of the purposes. He gave them two purposes. The first one was to be with him. He wanted a relationship. But that was not the only purpose. There was also something he wanted them to do. He wanted them to steward the garden. He was to take dominion over the earth, to subdue it. There was a work, but before the fall, there was no sweat involved. It was easy work. It was work with him. It was enjoyable. It was with the Father, but there was a purpose and a call. And every single one of us have a purpose, a call, a destiny, that if we're not engaged in it, there's an aspect of our life that has a hole in it. And so we filled holes in our life. You have two holes in you. You have a God hole for intimacy with him. And then you have a hole for purpose. See, God designed you the scripture is very clear that before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. He knew every single one of us before he made us. And we all, every single person is made with the God hole of needing intimacy, needing to receive love from the Father, needing to know the Father. We're made to know God. And when that hole is not filled, we're going to fill it with something. But there's also another hole, and that's called the hole of purpose, and it's attached to the hole of knowing God. Because when we get to know God, God begins to reveal his desire and his plan, the thing that he put in you from the foundation of the earth that would bring you the greatest satisfaction you have ever known, and it's called your destiny, your purpose. Are y'all with me? If you're not engaged in purpose, you have a hole in there. And you're feeling it. My wife will get on me. You feeling it? She could feel. I am a country boy. You will feel it. I can't even do it without sounding like that. So anyway, it is what it is. I am what I am. You will fill that hole. There you go. With something. You might fill it with drugs. Might fill it with sex outside of marriage. You might fill it with things that aren't necessarily bad in of themselves, like a career. You might give yourself to a career, and you let that fill your hole up. Could be you're filling it up with toys, boats, cars, motorcycles, airplanes. None of those things are bad in of themselves. But when they're taking the place and they're filling a hole that was meant for purpose, then they're just stealing and robbing from you, and it takes a long while before we wake up one day and realize, man, that was all worthless. It did nothing for me. It just took me a while to wake up. My dad, I have a great relationship with my dad. My dad's, he's about to be 80. Yeah, and we're saying goodbye to him. And but his story is really remarkable along these lines because, you know, my dad, I'm the youngest of four children. But my sister and I share the same birthday. We're 10 years apart. Okay, that's how far apart we are. My brother is 8 years apart. Okay, so I was a big accident. But my brothers and sisters will tell you that we had a different daddy. And there is some truth to that. My dad was, before he got born again, he was a different man. He was trying to fill some holes, and he was trying to find something to fill those holes. And I remember stories, you know, he would go to the bar every night. There were things that were working in his life that were not healthy and were producing death in his life. I know I could point to a lot of things, which I'm not going to do, but there are some things that, like, you know, he would, you know, the house that he lived in, it just didn't satisfy. His dream was to build this house. He builds the house, and then it's like, all right, now what? That didn't do it. I'm still just as miserable as I was before I did this house. You know what I mean? And we all have these dreams and these things, these next things that we go to in order to try to make us happy, to satisfy something in us. And one day he got so miserable, he was like, I'm just going to kill myself. I'm tired of this. I'm miserable. Nothing I've done has worked to make me happy. I've ruined my kids. I've ruined my family. I've ruined everything I've touched. And his idea was to drive his car into a bridge underpass or some type of piling that would just so fast that it would kill him. And on his way to do it, the Lord reached out to him. And he thought, you know what, I'm going to kill myself anyway. Let's give God a try. And he said, Lord Jesus, if you can do anything for me. And then the Lord just came. And he said he got filled with the Spirit. He all of a sudden felt like he was loved for the first time in his life. And he pulled over on the side of the road and just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because he felt the love of God. See, that was the hole that he needed filled. And when he got it, things changed. I had a different dad. That's the way the gospel is supposed to be. We're supposed to allow Jesus to fill our holes. So here's my point. Here's what I want to get to. Is that God wants to be a very close, personal God in your life. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to show you destiny and purpose. And the way he does that is through the prophetic. Okay, now we talked about 2 weeks ago how the prophetic in our lives, which when I say prophetic, all I mean is God communicating to us. He communicates. He communicates in a variety of ways. As we talked 2 weeks ago, that dreams is one of the main ways through the scriptures that God communicates. I have found that true in my life. In my bag over there, I have the most current ones. Are three book notebooks full of dreams. Those are the current ones. I have numerous other ones on my bookshelf at home, but I keep those with me because they're the most recent, and if I need to turn to them to remember something, I do, because those dreams are powerful. I have dreams being fulfilled right now in my life that I wrote down from years ago. There was a dream I was sharing with the team Monday night. I didn't understand it for about, I probably dreamed it 10 years ago, and I've understood part of it, but not all of it until Monday night. And I started sharing with the revelation I've been getting on this old dream. And then Paul points something out in it that I had never even seen before that was absolutely crazy. It was just right. It went along with everything that the Lord was speaking through it, and it just gave fresh life to this dream that I dreamed over 10 years ago. And God is, I'm seeing these dreams fulfilled. And the way the prophetic works is when we begin to get in line with the Lord and we start to desire what he has to say about our lives, and we start asking him, Lord, show me the purpose and the plan of my life, then he will speak. He will speak through dreams. He will speak through you having encounters with him, visions. He will speak through other people. He will speak through billboards. He will speak through all kinds of things to get your attention, to show you his heart for you. Now, here's what a prophetic word is, and I want you to understand something, because a lot of people in the Christian realm suffer shipwreck because they don't understand this point. So this is a very important point that I'm about to make. So if you write stuff down, write it down. If you don't, that's okay. I'm not a writer too much. I usually try to just listen, but this is an important point. 95-98% of the time, what I'm going to say to you is true. Prophetic words are invitations to a promise that's in the heart of God. Okay? Did y'all hear what I said? It's an invitation to a promise in the heart of God. It is not a guarantee. There are some prophetic words, and they're very rare, that they're absolute, God determined before the foundation of the world, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen. I don't understand all that. I don't. I do know there are some things that just, they're going to happen. I don't know why. I do think men are involved with it. But prophetic, most prophetic words, most of the things God speaks to us are invitations to us to say, look, here's what's in my heart. Here's what I want to release to your life, but it's up to you whether or not you're going to have that. Because here's the prophetic word. We have to be willing. I'll give you an example. Let me give you an example first. The children of Israel. Okay? I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. There's going to be houses you didn't build. You're going to have vineyards you didn't plant. It's going to be an amazing land, blessed on every side. That's a true word. God spoke it to the children of Israel. Here's the catch, though. There were giants in the land. Big dudes that were hell-bent, literally, on them not coming in. And in order for the children of Israel to step into the promises that God made to them, they had to be willing to walk in faith with what God said, to step into a battle. And they had to pull out their swords and fight for that promise from God. Are you following me? If they were unwilling to do so, they did not receive the promise. And the reason for that is that if you don't value the promise or the promised land enough to take out your sword and fight for it, you're not worthy of it. It's like a perfect little door that only opens for those who value it enough. And there are promises on your life that God wants to release over you. He wants to give you a purpose and a destiny and something for you to have to go after that's going to satisfy you to the core of who you are, but you will not get it ever, ever, ever if you're not willing to engage war in the spirit for these promises, to value it, to care about what God's invited you into. It does not automatically happen. Matter of fact, part of that promise to the children of Israel was, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And the first place they come to, they don't even have water to drink. And they were thirsting to death. They were 3 days in the desert with no water. 3 days in a desert with no water, with kids screaming at you. I mean, we give the children of Israel a hard time sometimes, but that was tough. They had journeyed 3 days through a desert with cattle, mother-in-laws, children, wives, husbands. Okay? This was not fun. And they finally make it to the place where they see water, and they get excited and full of hope, and they come up to it, and the water was so bitter they couldn't even drink it. It was a test. The Lord tested them. Many people turn away when their promise gets tested. You know that? Many people suffer shipwreck when the promise of God doesn't look true. Very few people enter into the promises of God, and we're told why in Hebrews 3. Let's turn over to Hebrews 3 and chapter 4. The Lord is talking through Hebrews 3, and he's telling us that the story I just told you about the children of Israel. And it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, children of Israel? And with whom he was angry for 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." Now see, God gave these people a promise. They were going to enter the promised land. But now he's saying, you're not entering. See, it was an invitation to a promise, but they didn't receive it, and the scripture says because of their unbelief. And then it goes on to say in chapter 4, "Therefore let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it." See, when this promise of God comes to each of us, we have a choice to make. We have to fight for it. We have to stand for this promise. This gentleman right here in the yellow sweatshirt, hey, how you doing? I feel like the Lord's speaking to you right now. I feel like there's some things that God has shown you, and there's been like a, there's been seasons of the Lord really pouring out, speaking some things to you, and then you've had these seasons too where it's dry and it doesn't look like it's true, but I just feel like the Lord wanted to encourage you. He's got a purpose and a destiny, and the things that he spoke to you, they're yes and amen. And just keep standing on the promises of God, and you're going to see a fulfillment of what the Lord spoke to you. So, does that make sense? Okay. And that's true for all of us. But it's specifically true for you. It's true for all of us. They didn't enter in because they didn't combine faith. For we who have believed enter that rest, talking about the promised land, just as he said. See, here's what I want to encourage you guys. First of all, there's two parts of this. Having that kind of relationship with God where God's telling you things. It's so exciting. Anybody that knows me well and get close enough to me, you're going to hear about promises God's given me. I'm overflowing with them. And from the standpoint is I get excited when God speaks something fresh to me. Now, many things God speaks to me, I'm not excited when he first says it. That's been a pretty good pattern in my life. But I have learned to embrace what he says, and because it always becomes the greatest joy of my life. When you embrace what God says for your life, it will be the greatest joy you've ever known. It's not always what your flesh wants, but it is what your spirit man wants. And we have to distinguish between that, because your flesh can want a lot of carnal things. They're not, all of them are bad necessarily. They can be good things, but they're carnal. It's earthly mindedness. It's not putting in sight the eternal things that have the most value. You know, I wanted a house on the beach when I moved to Wilmington. It didn't happen. But you know, God put me right where I was needed. And I have built relationships with people in my neighborhood that are going to have amazing impact in eternity, and it has brought me great joy. No, I don't get to wake up and see the ocean roll onto my backyard, but it's a, you know, that's a little thing. That's, eternity's worth so much more than that. And the impact on lives around me have been they've been absolutely a God thing for me to be where I am in the house that I was moved to. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this real quick. It's pretty funny. When I pulled into the neighborhood, when we came here to look for home, I said to my wife, I ain't living here. I had been planning for about a month looking through all these properties, and all the ones I wanted were beach homes, and they, or at least on the island, and they were built with stilts. And every home in this neighborhood looked like all the neighborhoods I'd come from in Charlotte, inland. And I'm like, it just wasn't my vision. You know what I mean? And I walked up to the house that this realtor's wanting to show us, and I'm already have a bad attitude, and I'm not living in this neighborhood, but she had just wanted to show us this last house. And I walk up to the door, and I see the address is 616. And I immediately say, oh, no, I ain't living here. 616, well, you know, the mark of the beast is 666, right? Some translations, which I think are incorrect translations, but some translations translate that 616. And so there were a lot of sixes in that address. I didn't like it. I wasn't living there. And I'm like, I walk up, I see it, I immediately have that thought, I ain't living here, and God speaks to me, clears a bell. And he says, what if that's a good number? John 616. And the realtor's trying to unlock the padlock to get the key out to open the door. And I pull out my phone. I go to my Bible to find out what John 616 says, because I don't know. And it says, when evening had come, his disciples went down by the sea. I was moving from Charlotte to the sea, okay? I knew this was my house, okay? And it changed everything because I embrace what he tells me to embrace. And I'm going to tell you, this house has been such a blessing to our family. And it has been a blessing to our street. And so you just have to embrace what God tells you to embrace. But what I want to leave us with the Christian life is the most exciting life you could ever, ever have. And it's about to even get more exciting. If your Christian life is not exciting, I just want to tell you, I'm not beating you up. Okay, I love you. But it ain't God's fault. And in equations, you have two sides of an equation, right? It's not on God's side of the equation that there's something wrong. He said, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you will receive. Those words in the Greek says, if you continually ask, you will receive. If you continually seek, you will find. If you continually knock. I pound on this every day. I'm hungry. And when I'm not hungry, it scares me. And I say, God, I'm not hungry. Make me hungry. Father, whatever this feeling I feel, I don't like it. Make me hungry for you and your word. And he does. And I desire to be in line with him. And so I'm seeking him to know what his path for my life, knowing that nothing that I've wanted has been given to me. I've had to reject everything I've wanted to do with my life, but in accepting God's plan for my life, I have found a more richness, more satisfaction than I would have ever in a million years thought possible in those other little dinky pathways that I was trying to make for myself. Are y'all following me? And so in my pursuit of him, there becomes this dialogue with God where he begins to talk to you. He begins to show you the purpose for the season that you're in. And if you don't have that, he wants to give that to you. Okay? So there's people in here that you don't have that. God wants to give that to you today. If that's you and you don't have that dynamic between you and the Lord, don't leave here without getting prayer, because God wants to release this into your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you clarity. He wants to set you on fire with a purpose from him that's absolutely going to change the world. Okay? Here's the second group of us. We've had these words, these things that God has given us, purpose, but we don't see it happening. That's you're going to go through that. You're going to go through that. If you want the promise of God, you got to be willing to go through the wilderness where it doesn't look like anything's coming true. I'm on the verge of something the Lord has been speaking to me for years, really for decades. I just didn't realize what he was saying, because a lot of times the prophetic is built on one another. You get a puzzle piece. God gives you a puzzle piece. You're like, what do I do with this? It's a word from the Lord, but you don't know how it fits. So you set it on the back burner, and then you get another piece, and then another piece down the line. And now you're 10 years in, and you got all these puzzle pieces, and they're starting to connect. The dots are starting to connect, and you're starting to get excited because you see something forming that God's speaking. And so, like, in the last few years, I got almost a complete picture now of something that I have been getting my whole adult life, that that it's like, oh my God, I'm getting excited. But you know what's hitting me right now? I am getting hit with the most intense, this ain't gonna happen. That's what's hitting me. But I also know that that's always comes right before breakthrough. Because if you can quit and give up something, you're going to miss the very thing you've been fighting for all this time. And the devil knows that. He knows it. He tries to rob vision. He tries to steal your vision, because if you have vision for something, he can't get it from you. With faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. You got to have faith that it's going to have happen, and you have to have patience to let it unfold. And if you try to help God, you're going to get an Ishmael, and you don't want that. I've done that. Try to help God out. He's not moving fast enough, so I'm going to give him some help. Are y'all with me? Fight for your promises. I'm going to end on this one thing, pretty sure. When I was told in 2003, the Lord spoke to me out of the blue. This was not on my radar. I'm walking from the bathroom in my house into my bedroom, was turning to go out of my bedroom, but I was still in my bedroom right by my bed. I turn, and the Lord, I wasn't praying. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I wasn't doing anything. Bam, the Lord speaks to me. He says, you're almost dealt with your selfish ambition. You're almost ready to pastor. I thought, wow. And I literally went to my bed. I sat down there on the side of it. I said, where, God? And I heard clear as a bell, the beach. Okay? This was 2003. At this time, I had been on staff at Morningstar in Charlotte, but had left because of selfish ambition. The Lord told me to go. He's sitting me down for a period of time to deal with selfish ambition in my heart so I would learn how to actually serve his household. And so I said, I'm in this process. I'm doing construction, going to school for construction. I was soon to get my general contractor's license. This was like, I was like, wow, okay, that's a curveball. All right, Lord, let's, okay, the beach. And so I'm thinking about that and praying. And I start having, you know, the Lord starts to giving me stuff. I started driving down here. Morningstar had just started a Friday night meeting in Shallotte, which is about an hour south of Wilmington. And it was a Friday night SOS meeting, it was, you know, School of Spirit. And my parents-in-law had property in Sunset Beach, which was basically right at Shiloh. And so they had asked me to come down and do worship because they would get different people from Charlotte to come down and help with the meeting. And I had just had this fresh word, and I'm like, this has got to be it. I'm going to pastor a church for Morningstar at Shiloh. And I'm already envisioning it, this little quiet beach town, beach life. It's going to be good. I'm going to have some fun. I'm like, maybe I'll be surfing a little bit, playing the guitar, just this little chill life. And I'm already got my life planned out within a few weeks of getting this word from the Lord. And like, I'm driving down to lead worship, and we were going to stay the week at Sunset for vacation anyway. And so I'm driving down, and my wife's sleeping in the car as I'm driving, which is pretty common. And I'm like, so I got time to pray. And I'm like, Lord, tell me something else. Tell me something, Lord. Tell me something about this. God, I want to hear afresh. Tell me something new. And the Lord speaks to me. He says, Wilmington. And my heart just sunk. Oh, no, Lord, not Wilmington. God, that didn't fit in with my vision here. You told me the beach. I've already got it planned. I said, all right, Lord. Golly. And I was bummed. I get to the meeting. Like 3/4 of the people at the meeting were from Wilmington. And the guy leading the meeting, well, no, it wasn't me. The guy leading the meeting, he ends up praying for Wilmington that night. And they got words, prophetic words for Wilmington that night. I was like, you can't make that up. What's the chances? You know? And so I knew that this was really the Lord. Like, that's when I really knew this word was from the Lord. And I come to find out, without me being involved at all, because I was no longer on staff with Morningstar in any way, I was just going to church there. And was not on any inside scoop whatsoever of what's going on. But 3 months later, they closed down that meeting and they started it back up in Wilmington. I thought, okay, this is it. 14 and a half years later, two to three pastors later, the Lord finally, in 1 week, I'm year after year, I'm having like 2 or 3 dreams a year about Wilmington and my purpose here. Year after year after year, and Lindsay's listening to me. Why, we're not moving. I don't want to move twice. We're going to move soon. Year after year after year after year. It was 2016, the Lord speaks to me. And y'all have heard me say this, but in 2016, the Lord said, if you don't start warring for those promises, they're not going to come forward. And I spent the next year praying kind of like this. Lord, release the purposes of God for me in Wilmington. Open up the doors. Release angelic help to go make a way for me, Lord. Any hindrances from the enemy, from trying to hold back what you want to do, Lord, I just bind it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, release your purposes, God. I'm asking for breakthrough and for my purposes, the things that you've called me to, the things that you have spoken to me. Lord, I ask that you bring it forward now in the name of Jesus, and I declare in Jesus' name that I will live in Wilmington. I have a purpose in Wilmington, and I declare it in Jesus' name. I did it for a year. At the end of that year, I was done. It still hadn't happened. And I was ready. I told my wife, I said, all right, let's build. I'm a builder. I was like, we're going to build a house in Charlotte. I'm tired. I was living in the starter home that we had been living in for 18 and a half years. And I was over it, and I was spent. Almost ready to give up, but still had a little bit of hope in my heart that I couldn't have made all this stuff up. And then February the 28th, I have a dream. Me and Lindsay are relocating to Wilmington in the dream. I go to work that day. I have a realtor call me from Wilmington asking me if I'm relocating to the area. I'm speechless. I said, maybe. It was so weird. Why? A realtor calls me out of the blue in Charlotte and asks me if I'm relocating to the area the same morning I had just woke up from a dream that I'm relocating to the beach. I go home. You don't mind if I share this, do you? I go home. I tell Lindsay all this stuff. She was laying in bed. She said, it's going to take a whole lot more than that to move me to Wilmington. She had been listening to me for years talk about Wilmington, right? And they didn't. Maybe when we retire type thing, it ain't happening, you know. She had a very successful business in Charlotte. I had a business in Charlotte. It cost us a lot to move here. But two mornings later, me and Lindsay are laying in bed. It's pitch black, 6:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden, the TV turns on. What are you doing? That ain't me. You didn't turn the TV on? No? I said, all right, somebody rolled over on a remote. I turned the light on. I'm looking. The remote's over on our dresser. You'd have to get up and physically go get it to turn the TV off. And I look up, and it's Beachfront Bargain Hunters. I'm like, do you see that? She goes, I see that. She was not happy then. Her heart sunk. My heart rejoiced. I leaped out of the bed, went to my office, got there and started praying good. I was getting psyched. I'm like, this is really happening. I go to work that day. I'm a builder, right? We're doing an addition off the back of a house that was built in 1930. Okay, pre-footers. Didn't have footers back then, if you know anything about construction. And the guy that was supposed to have done all the footers didn't do it. He missed one because there was a pier that had to be poured. I couldn't get him to come back when I wanted him to. I was getting frustrated. I grabbed my office manager who does office work, and I said, "We're put on work clothes. We're going to work today." Went to the house, rented a jackhammer a bunch of old steps that were built in 1930 off the back of the house, so we could pour this footer. That was, it was probably like a 2x2 or something. I don't remember exactly. So we got all the bricks. I mean, we're jackhammering, throwing these bricks out. And the way they would do it back then is they would take bricks and just stack it on solid dirt. And that's how they would start the build of the house before the days that they poured concrete. And so I'm doing this. And as we're digging, I'm sitting there digging the hole. I see something in the ground. And I'm like, hold on, hold, wait, what is that? And I go over there and I start digging with my hand, and I pull out of the ground a seashell like probably about that big. It was the biggest seashell I had ever seen in my life. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This was put in 1930. Someone planted a seashell underneath this step so that, what was that? Do the math. Somebody, it was 1930. This was 2016. All those years later, so that I could find it right at the right time that I had on the week that I had a dream I was relocating. A realtor called me from here, and the TV turns on with Beachfront Bargain Hunters, and that day I find a seashell under a footer from back in 1930. Are you kidding me? And it was big. I never gotten one that big. It's on my office at home. It's like, oh my gosh, I could not wait to tell Lindsay. She was going to be real happy. This is no lie. That weekend, someone contacts us and asks us if we would be willing to sell our home to them because they want to live next door to their dad. We never even put our house on the market. We sold it, and we started coming down here. Okay? God spoke so powerfully that week, but I had 14 and a half years of fighting for God's promises before they came about, and another year and a half here serving this church, knowing that I was going to pastor it, but had to keep my mouth shut. Knew in the spirit, didn't know in the natural. Had no idea in the natural. No one told me that. I had it from God. That was tough. Well, year and a half later into it, so what's that, 16 years later then, the pastor resigns and I become the pastor. 16 years, and the word was fulfilled. And everything that's been happening over the last 6 years here has been because I fought for a word and a promise that God started back in 2003. God has those types of things for y'all. And they're great things. There's no way you could make it happen. All you can do is dream with God, believe God, fight for your promises, and you'll see incredible things come about in your life. But you have to be willing to have faith and patience. Are y'all with me? Amen. Well, Lord, let this go deep in us that we don't give up on your promises quickly, that we fight for the things that you're speaking to us, that we develop this intimacy and relationship with you of hearing your voice and what you're saying.